Hi, I'm Betty Rose, the pinup punisher from Gothenburg, Sweden, and you are listening to Wrestle Life Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Life Radio. My name is Matt Sin, and this is Indie Focus. This is the show where we sit down with someone who is working or has worked in independent wrestling, and we'll learn more about them. Hashtag support indie wrestling. And today, I'm sitting here with Miss Aaliyah Mia. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm happy to be on the podcast.
Well, we're glad to have you. And just so anyone knows, if anyone hears any chirping in the background, before we started recording, I was literally about to hit record. And I'm like, are you outside? Is that birds? And you tell me, oh no, I raise chicks.
Yeah.
So I need more information. So my first question to you, we're going to jump right into it. Nice. My first question to you is, why do you raise chicks?
Okay, so I think back in like November, maybe before November, my mom wanted to get some chickens. That way we just have a natural organic way of getting eggs.
Okay.
So we've had these chickens and like, I don't really take care of them or anything,
mm-hmm.
but sometime, I want to say last month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think early February, maybe the end of January. She's like, what do you think about getting chicks? And I didn't really give her a full answer because we got into a different conversation. Mm-hmm. But by like the next week, I come home after training and we have chicks. So that's how that started. We have three chicks. One is like brown and white. Another is kind of brown and yellow. And then we have one that is all yellow. We call the all yellow one Peep. The other ones don't have names yet, but that one was the easiest one to name.
That was my next question. What are their names?
Yeah, only one has a name. I want to name the brown and white one S'mores because I think that'd be cute. But they stay in my room right now. They're in this like bin with bedding and food and water and a heating lamp. So they're really cool. They're growing really quick. The only thing is they do chirp at night, so
yeah.
I'll be waking up like 5 a.m. and I'm like, what is it? What do you want? Please let me sleep.
That's crazy. See, my grandfather has chickens, and he always had a farm, and he still raises chickens, and he's almost 90 years old because it gives him something to do.
Yeah.
And it is so interesting to me because talking to someone from California, mm-hmm. I was not expecting someone that raised chickens. I'm from Alabama, and that's the kind of place where you raise chickens.
Right. Well, I mean, I know a couple of people that actually have chickens, and like, I wouldn't say it's like the most popular thing, but I feel like it's kind of common for people to not like have a farm, but to own chickens. Just that way they have, you know, some eggs. It's almost like having a garden in your backyard.
Yeah.
And now we're one of those people. So it's quite interesting. And I'm excited for these little chickies to grow up, especially since I can gain some more sleep. But they are really sweet and really nice.
That's great. That's so funny to me. I think that's just wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing your chicken experience.
Totally.
So let's get to know you, Aaliyah. Other than wrestling, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, right now, I've been really enjoying my Nintendo Switch. I got one not last Christmas, but the Christmas before that. So 2019? Man, that's weird to say. I like playing my Nintendo Switch. I like to teach myself music on like the piano or my kalimba. Really into art as well. I've been drawing ever since I can remember. So I'm trying to get more skillful in different parts of art. I do painting. I draw, sketch, use color pencils.
Wow.
All that stuff. Just anything artsy, I'm all about it.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. You sound a lot like my wife. She does all that kind of stuff as well.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. Me, on the other hand, I can't draw a straight line. So.
Aw. To be fair, straight lines are kind of hard.
Well, thank you. You know what? You just made my day that much better.
Aw.
Oh my gosh. Let's get into some wrestling.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So, like, as far as watching wrestling on television, did you watch a lot of wrestling growing up?
Yeah, I did. I started watching when I was 9 years old, and I've just been watching ever since, but it's mainly been WWE.
Yeah.
Once, like, I think I started training, I started watching some New Japan, especially since I found out, like, our DVR provides it, and I was like, what? I could have been watching this the whole time?
Right.
So every once in a while, I'll watch some New Japan. And then I try to keep up with AEW. Don't always do, though.
Right.
But I know enough to be like, oh, this is so-and-so. They're in this group, and this is what they've been up to, you know?
Just enough to be dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, cool. That's really great. So who were some of your favorites when you were growing up?
Oh, Shawn Michaels. Absolutely. All-time
My favorite,
favorite
of all time.
Yes.
Yep.
Love him. Triple H, of course, his buddy. I was a really big John Cena fan as a kid. And it's funny because, like, I hated, like, all the heels. Like, I hated Jericho and Orton. Yeah. But once I started growing older, I was like, I found a respect for them and how important their role is to be a heel. So, love them as well. Who else? Lita. Love Lita.
Yeah, she's awesome.
AJ Lee was a big inspiration for me because I was like, she's like me. She's short and she's a tomboy and she wants to be like a legit wrestler, you know? So
that's cool.
She kind of made me go like, oh, with my size and me being petite, I could be a wrestler. Because I had a lot of people saying like, oh, you're too small. You're too short.
Right.
And I'd be like, look at her. She's held how many titles and won how many slammies? She's the longest reigning diva champ, okay? Like, and I'm probably going to be her height when I grow up. So, yeah, I love AJ Lee.
Yeah, as do I. She's really great. Now, how tall or short are you?
I'm, depending on what doctor I go to, I'm 5 foot or 5'1". I just always say 5 foot because it's easier.
Yeah.
And then AJ Lee's like 5'2", so.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you're right there. You're almost as tall as AJ Lee.
Right. Correct.
That's great. That's really great. So is that why you wanted to become a professional wrestler? Because you watched it as a kid? Or was there something else that lit that spark?
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I was kind of like, oh, I want to do that. Because, like, I wanted to be a lot of things when I grew up. But wrestling was one of them. And I was just like, this is cool. I like wrestling my brothers and whatnot. And it's fun to watch. And then I think when I got older, I started to realize I really liked the storytelling. And I also noticed how there was kind of nothing like wrestling.
Yeah.
Because it's athletic, but then it's also theater. And then you also have these other parts to the show, like the music and the lighting, and there's just nothing quite like it. And I was just like, man, I don't have a passion like this that I do for other things. Like, my passion for music's very strong, but it's in a totally different direction. And I just couldn't find any other sport that I had the same passion for because there's so many elements into professional wrestling.
Right.
So I was like, this is what I want to do, you know? I was like, there's these other sports and they're great and, you know, I don't really see myself being a pro at them. Maybe do college stuff.
Sure.
But I was like, professional wrestling, I can totally dive in deep with.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So where did you first start training?
I first started training at East Bay Pro Wrestling, which is where I still train today. In 2017, they had a two-day tryout, and there was about four of us. There's another guy that came on the second day, which is kind of funny. So there's technically five of us. It was myself, another woman named Maddie, which I'm still cool with, a guy named Steven, another guy named Dino, who later on trained with us. He doesn't train with us anymore, but he dipped his feet into it. And then we have Fred, who is our enforcer at East Bay Pro.
Okay.
It became between me and him who were gonna win, and I ended up winning the scholarship, and he signed up the next following month, which I was really happy because I was like, you're so good and you picked this stuff up, like,
yeah,
you should totally try this out. And he was like in his late 30s, So he was kind of like, this is one of the sports I want to do before it's too late.
Right.
So I was like, dude, you should totally do it. So I'm so glad that he actually signed up and went forth with it. And he's actually awesome. Won a couple titles with us.
That's cool.
But yeah, I train at East Bay Pro Wrestling, and I've been there for a little over 3 years now. So, okay. Yeah, it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, that sounds really fun. Now, you started, and correct me if I'm wrong, you started out as a referee, is that right?
I did. I wasn't training to become a referee, just the opportunity came along. So, one of my former trainers, Anton Voorhees, he was the head trainer at East Bay Pro Wrestling. Okay. He started doing a... How do I say this? He started a sister show with the promotion Hood Slam, and his show is called GLAM, which stands for Guilty Lethal Action Mayhem. And since I was one of his female students, he was like, I really want you to be involved with this show at some point. Mm-hmm. So he had asked Sheik, who is the owner and the promoter of Hood Slam, and he was like, hey, Sheik, is there anything Aaliyah could do? Like, could she set up a ring or help with the equipment? And Sheik was all like, can she ref? And Anton was like, I don't know, we could find out though in training. So he was like, you know, having me do some practice matches and going through the drills and whatnot, and they put me on a Hood Slam show, but it was the pre-show, which was for a show called Stoner U.
Okay.
All these shows collaborating. They're in Oakland and whatnot. So I did the pre-show. Sheik seemed to like me. And then I started repping for GLAM for about 6 or 7 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So while I was preparing for my debut to become a wrestler, in the meantime, I was reffing at GLAM.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I kind of missed it, to be honest.
Well, I'm sure you can ref sometimes.
I mean, I thought that, but then I went to a promotion called West Coast Pro in January of 2020. Yeah. And it was my first time reffing in, like, I don't know, like 6 or 7 months because I had debuted as a wrestler. So I go there and I'm like, this is going to be interesting because I've wrestled both of these women that I'm going to ref for. And I've wrestled them at GLAM. So here's this promotion in the Bay Area, and then GLAM is also in the Bay Area. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if anybody's going to notice. Maybe not. People recognized me, and they were just kind of like, you know, like, oh, like, can we get a photo with you? Or they want to chat with me. And I'm just like, oh, man, this is kind of weird. Because you know that Heather Monroe hates me at GLAM. And you know that Viva had some beef with me at GLAM in our match. And now I'm reffing them. So it was kind of funny. Like, I had fun with it. But I was just like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't ref anymore.
I gotcha. I totally understand that. You want to keep up with the storylines and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You could referee under a mask.
Under a mask.
Either mask ref. No one would know you.
That's true. I did do a match where I was like a special guest ref. That was a lot of fun.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Well, cool. That's great. Now, before you actually go into the match, do you have any like rituals or anything that you do every time?
I normally try to stretch. I might do some squats to just kind of warm up my body a little bit. Because like normally at training, we stretch and we roll out and we're ready to prepare our body to take these bumps and these moves. And then in a match, you know, you don't have a lot of time to prepare. So I kind of just do some squats. I'll stretch out a bit. And then I usually will say like a prayer before I go out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Faith is important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you started training, I think you said, in 2017. When was your first match?
My first match was May 11th of 2019. So like, I want to say like a little over a year and a half when I started training. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. And then tell me how that very first match went.
So I wasn't nervous for it. I was actually quite ready. There was a couple of times the promoter at East Bay, Maynard Skinner, kind of wanted to debut me. But yeah. He'd be like, oh, you know, we have this open spot. And myself and my trainer at the time, Anton Voorhees, were kind of like, no, I'm not ready.
Yeah.
I was just like, I want to be 100% sure. You know, sometimes you can only be so ready, but this was like the perfect timing and it worked out so great. I went out there. The match was supposed to go like 10 minutes and it went like maybe four. And it was a triple threat. Wow. It went really short, but that's okay because like there was no mess ups, there was no botches. I don't look back and go like, oh, I was such a newbie and I didn't know what I was doing. Like, yeah. No. I had fun. I had my family and friends there, and afterwards, all my trainers got in the ring. They kind of put me over saying like she's worked hard and that I'm gonna go places. And then they surprised me because my cousin Isaiah, he is a part of the Navy, and he told me he wouldn't be able to make it for my debut, and he did, and he surprised me afterwards.
That's
in the
awesome.
Ring. Yeah, it
that's
was so cool.
Cool. That's really great.
Yeah.
So what happened where it was cut so short?
It was just a matter of like our timing.
Yeah.
Like we had planned stuff, and I remember thinking like, this match is only going to go like 5 minutes. And they're like, yeah. No, it'll be stretched out and whatnot. And at one point I'm out of the ring, like I roll out or I get thrown out, and I'm waiting for like open slot to get back in. And I find that open slot and I'm like, that was it? That was all the moves that you guys were going to do? Okay,
right.
That's fine. Let me just get in here and do my thing, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just a matter of our timing and things not being dragged out enough, you know?
I gotcha. Okay. Interesting. So you've been wrestling for a couple years now. Tell me, what was your favorite match you've ever had?
I have two. So okay. My first favorite match is when I wrestled Heather Monroe mm-hmm. at Glam. So mm-hmm. going back to me reffing, while I was reffing, I reffed a lot of her matches and she would like bully me. There'd be a couple times where she would shove me or she would pull my hair. One time she clotheslined me after a match. Like she was bullying me for like months. So she was defending at the time. They were keys because we didn't have titles. But there were these keys that opened up a Sun and Moon door. It's a whole storyline. I can't get into the whole thing right now, but
okay.
Yeah, she's defending these keys, right? And it's an open challenge, and she's all talking to Anton, who is also the host and commentator for his show. And she's all like, I heard you have like an opponent for me. Who is it? And she had already said like, oh, I'm gonna bring out my personal referee, Aaliyah Mia Garcia. So I'm already out there, and she's like trying to talk smack, like, don't mess this up for me again. So then she talks to Anton, like, who do you have for me? And I rip off my ref gear, and under is my ring attire.
That's awesome.
And I'm like ready to go. And she's like, oh, honey, like, you want to go? Okay, ring the bell. And the crowd went crazy. They popped so big. And I wish I could have took it all in at the moment, but I was so tunnel vision on my match and ready to go. But yeah, just the whole storyline leading up was perfect. And then for being like, I don't know, my 8th or 9th match, I think.
Yeah.
It had only been like 2 months that I had debuted. I would, you know, I don't mean to pat myself on my back, but I was like, that was a pretty well match.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think where you can watch it. I know it's out there somewhere. It's not on YouTube. It's on one of the indie wrestling sites.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. Maybe it'll come back to me. But
yeah, let me know and I'll share it.
For sure. So there's that match. And then I wrestled Fidel Bravo. And just something about that match, everything clicked right. The timing was great. The reactions were awesome. I hit a falsie and it had a bigger pop than I expected. And just afterwards, it's one of those feelings like, whoa, we just did that out there. Wow, that was fun, you know?
That's awesome.
So yeah, those are my two favorite matches, both on Glam.
Okay, that's really cool. Now, as far as like your character, has she really changed all that much, or are you still trying to, you know, master who she really is?
Yeah, I don't think she's changed much since debuting, besides maybe become more knowledgeable, gained more wisdom. Because like I had gone into this and my character was kind of like on a high, right? Like she had this match, she had that match, she was on Raw, you know, she's doing all these things. She won a title, and then all of a sudden, like, I meet Ruby Reyes, and my second title defense, I lose my title, you know?
Yeah.
So then my character is on a low, and I have, like, these bruised ribs, and I'm trying to wrestle, and I'm trying to regain my confidence. And then, you know, things were going well. I was gaining my confidence, and then, you know, COVID hit.
Right.
So I was gone for a long while. And when I came back, it was for our new women's title at East Bay Pro.
Okay.
And I'm in this fatal four-way, I think it was.
Okay.
You know, and again, here I am chasing after this title, and I don't win. So I'm like, all right, trying to get back into the groove of things. That was that. And then I go to Missions. And that's like a huge opportunity for people to see me.
Yeah.
So again, like, I don't feel like my character's changed too much. Like, she's still a happy, tricky, sweet and sour kind of gal. But she also knows what it's like to lose something, you know?
Okay.
So she kind of has that hunger to, you know, win titles, be on top, and to shine.
That's really big for character growth, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned being on Raw, and let me tell you, I went back and watched this. I watched this live and totally forgot about it.
Yeah.
And so when I was doing my research on you, I'm like, holy smokes, like I watched this match live, and it was really cool. So it was you and I believe her name is Lisa Lace. I hope I'm not butchering it.
Yes.
Against the Iconics.
Mm-hmm.
And it was you were in a WWE ring on Raw. How cool was that?
Really cool. Very tricky.
Yeah, I bet.
Still doesn't really feel real.
Yeah.
A couple of months ago, I was getting a ride by somebody I train with, and I don't remember how we got onto the topic of the match. I think I said like, "Oh yeah, well, Raw is on the WWE Network, so you can technically watch that episode, and I'm on the WWE Network."
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and he's all like, "But can you search yourself on there?" And I was like, "I don't know." So I'm in his car, and I go on my phone. I have the app, and I search in my name, Aaliyah Mia, and the match pops up, and I'm like, "Dude, this is the weirdest thing ever."
That he's is like, so cool.
He's like, "That's so cool." I'm like, "Nah, this is, I can't process this. My brain can't process this." And I said, "I'm going to screenshot that because I will never search myself up on there again." I was like, "Cause that's just way too weird."
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. No, not weird. It's amazing.
It is. But that's like, I don't know. I can't fathom the thought of like millions of people have seen me.
Right.
I can see their upload. Like, I can see our match uploaded on YouTube on the WWE Networks, or not WWE Networks, on the WWE YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And see the views, and that makes more sense to me. Still bizarre, but that makes more sense. Knowing that I was, like, televised in front of millions, just, it's very hard to process.
So how did you, if I'm not prying, how did you, like, learn that you were going to be able to do that? Like, how did you get the news, and how did that come about?
Yeah, so, I'm just, you know, minding my day. I wake up, and I'm praying to God, like, "Hey, God, I don't know what I'm going to do today, but, you know, I might watch Raw, because they're going to be in San Jose, so it'd be cool to watch that live and whatnot. I was planning on going to SmackDown the next night.
Yeah.
Not as a wrestler, as a fan.
Yeah.
So I'm just minding my own business, watching YouTube videos, thinking I should probably edit or upload a video of my own. And all of a sudden, I have Lisa Lace being like, "Hey, are you in the area?" And I'm like, "Where? What is that supposed to mean?" Right? And I'm thinking, does she mean Raw? Because I'm not going to Raw. I'm going to SmackDown the next day.
Yeah.
And she was all like, WWE needs another female because I need a tag partner. Or she had said something like, "Oh, are you like in San Jose?" She's like, "For Raw." And it was like between texts, right? She's like,
"Yeah.
WWE needs a tag team partner for me. They don't have anybody." And I was like, I don't drive. Like, I didn't have a license. I was like, but I will find a way to get there. I was like, I don't care if that's an Uber or Lyft or what. So I call my mom and I'm like, "Hey, mom, are you going to be like home soon?" Because she was working and she's all like, "Yeah, I'm on my way right now. What's up?" And I was like, "Yeah, could you give me a ride to San Jose for Monday Night Raw? WWE needs me for a match." And it just goes quiet.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
She's like, my mouth is dropped open. She's like, "Yes, I will be there in like 10, 15 minutes. I was like, okay. So now I'm trying to make sure I pack any bit of ring gear I have. I'm like trying to get ready. And I'm just running around. And then I tell my dad, I was like, "Dad, come here." And he's like, "What?" And my brothers are trying to listen. I was like, no, you guys can't know this. I'm not supposed to tell anybody, but I'm telling you guys anyways. It's like, "Dad, come here, sit down." I was like, "I'm going to be on Monday Night Raw." And he's like, "Huh?" And I'm like, "I'm going to be on WWE Monday Night Raw. Lisa Lace needs a tag team partner. They're calling me in." And he's all like, "How do you know it's going to happen?" I was like, "Cause she messaged me and they need me and blah, 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 blah." And it didn't hit him at all.
Yeah.
I don't think it hit him until he actually watched me. Cause like he was telling us like, "You guys need to go." By the time I got there, it was like between 40 and 30 minutes before doors opened.
Okay.
That's how late of a call I got to come in.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was like rushing us and I'm, you know, being in contact with her and she's like, "Do you have these color of gear? You know what? It doesn't matter. How far out are you?" And it was like, we were about an hour and a half away. So that was another reason why we were trying to rush, because we're like, "Are we gonna get there in time?" And, like, the whole time, do you know what a rib is?
Yes.
Yeah, the whole time, I'm like, what if they're ribbing me? What if it's just...
Oh, it would be the meanest rib ever.
Like, yeah, the entire time, I was like, they're probably ribbing me. It's probably going to be her and some of the wrestling guys. And they're going to be like, "No, we just wanted you to come out and we'll, you know, go watch Raw or something." Like, the whole... Because it's hard for me to wrap my brain around this. I'm like, it's probably just a rib. It's not real. I show up to the arena. I go into the SAP Center and I'm just there standing with my gear, having no clue where to go. And I'm like, well, it's not a rib now because I'm here, you know? And I start walking around and asking like people that work in the arena, "Hey, where do extra talent go?" And I'm reading the sign of all the different like offices and where catering's at, and I'm walking the halls and I'm seeing like Shane McMahon's office, you know, like a little pin up there, blah blah blah, makeup and hair this way. And then finally I met up with Lisa Lace, and yeah, it's just so crazy because it was just like, I might watch Raw later tonight. And I mean, technically I watched it after I got home from being on it, but yeah, just the whole time it didn't feel real. And when I would tell myself like, "Hey, you realize you're not dreaming, right?" Then I was like, then why does this feel normal? Like, why do I feel like I'm at a normal wrestling event that I'm gonna be a part of? Like, that was the other thing. Just nothing about it felt like I was a fan or anything. It was just like, oh, I'm going to work, you know?
Yeah.
Just crazy enough, it's for the WWE.
Right. That's really awesome. I'm glad you had that experience.
I am too, you know?
Yeah. So, I'm assuming that most of your time you've worked, you've been working as a babyface, is that correct?
Yes.
Have you ever worked as a heel?
No, I haven't.
Not really?
No.
Do you want to try it someday, or do you like being on the babyface role?
I like being a babyface. I feel like there would have to be something really, like, irritating to make me want to go heel, you know?
Okay.
Like, I like connecting with the fans, and I like connecting with, like, the little kids and stuff.
Yeah,
I
understand that.
I like being that kind of like inspiration or possibly even a role model.
Okay, that's great. Now, speaking of role models, tell me who your role models are, either in the wrestling industry or otherwise.
Bayley, of course. Ding dong.
Obviously.
Hello. yeah, I said this, I think, on a podcast yesterday. I did. I mentioned like how I met Bayley and whatnot, and I met her at Raw. Like, she came up and she greeted me and everything like that. So
that's awesome.
She was one of my favorites before then, and I just thought it was funny because she was all like, "Yeah, I just wanted to," because San Jose is her hometown, and we were in San Jose at the time. She's like, "Yeah, I just wanted to say hi because I'm from the area," and I'm thinking like, "You have no clue that you're like my favorite woman wrestler, and that's okay," you know. So Bayley's great. I love her as a wrestler and as a human from, you know, what I've experienced. She's amazing.
I've always heard really good things about her.
Yeah. She's just like super nice. And it seems like she gets along with everybody. So Bayley's definitely one of them.
Okay.
Shawn Michaels, of course, love that man. Mm-hmm. Just as a human, again, I read his book. And it's incredible. Big inspiration for me because he's a Christian and I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And hearing his story on how he became a Christian and how, like, he was really falling off and whatnot. And, you know.
Yeah, his story's crazy. He was, like, no judgment, obviously, because none of us are. But he was not a good person.
Right. Like, a lot of people, like, hated him in the locker room.
For good reason, right?
Right. And that's the thing. It's just like, man, they hate him as a person, but they loved him as a performer.
Yeah.
Because he did his job so good.
Yeah. One of the best ever.
Yeah. So, there's been, like, a couple other people where I've just had, like, inspiration from, but I think Shawn's definitely top up there, number one.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I really like Bayley. Becky's really cool. Becky Lynch. Yeah. Just hearing her story and how she started at such a young age and, you know, started, like, traveling the world and moved to Canada and whatnot. And, you know, her main eventing WrestleMania.
Yeah. It's a huge deal.
Yeah. So those are the ones at the top of my head. I can, of course, be like, oh, you know what? Now that I'm a wrestler, I've taken inspiration from this person, or as a, you know, or as, like, how do I say this? Going about normal life, this person inspired me to do blank, you know? But those are the ones on the top of my head.
I gotcha. That makes sense. Okay. Now, let me ask you kind of a unique question, and I want to know, because you haven't been wrestling really long.
No, I haven't.
What is the most unique or weird place that you have ever wrestled?
Probably glam.
Yeah.
Cause it's so bizarre. But in a great way. One of my matches that I reffed, during the match, first off, there's Buggy Nova against Nurse Ratched, which is an undead nurse. So that itself already says a lot.
Okay.
They're pulling out, like, these fake fingers and these spiders and... At one point, Buggy gets, like, injected with some kind of fluid from Nurse Ratched. Towards the end of the match, she gives birth to Chucky. Like...
Okay.
Yeah, some crazy stuff.
That's really weird.
Pretty bizarre, but it's fantastic because everybody's into it. Like, nobody's like, this is just strange. What is even going on? It's just like...
Right.
Everybody as a group is like, yes, this is happening. And we're accepting it. This is life. This is real, you know? So that's why I go back to, like, when I started talking about the keys and the Sun and Moon door, like, that has its own story and that goes into a different dimension and whatnot. There's so many wacky things that happen, but in between it, there's really solid wrestling.
Yeah.
So Glam is probably one of the most bizarre places I've worked as a wrestler.
I really want to check that out. Like, you got to give me their YouTube channel after we're done recording, because that sounds very interesting.
Yeah, totally.
Huh. Cool. So what recommendations do you have for someone that really wants to get started in the wrestling industry?
My biggest pointer is to get in shape.
Okay.
A lot of people come in and they're like, well, I'm struggling doing the cardio because I'm not in shape. And I always think, like, why would you do that to yourself?
Right.
You know, we run ropes and you know, we take bumps and you know that we have to have, like, long matches and a long capacity. Yeah. So why would you come into wrestling not being in shape? Obviously, there is a difference between in-ring cardio and normal cardio.
Right.
But not doing any cardio is just not good for you, you know?
Right.
Before I went into the tryout, I was doing like P90X workouts. And I'm not saying to do stuff to that extreme, but at least be able to do like some push-ups and some sit-ups or whatnot. It's okay to struggle on things, but don't go into training or wrestling just completely out of shape because you're only hurting yourself.
Correct.
And with that, I was going to say something else and now I can't remember. oh, right. Because, like, doing sports, I get it. Like, if you're going to do football or basketball, even baseball, like, they're going to teach you the technique. They're going to help get your cardio up. But like I said, what we do is on a totally different level.
Yeah.
So even some athletes are like, dude, I've never had to do cardio like this. This is insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, try to get in shape. Again, you don't have to be like muscular. You don't have to be skinny. Just have some cardio, under your belt, you know?
Okay.
And with that, I would also say look into different aspects of wrestling. Growing up, I took all these different aspects of my life and said, this is somehow going to relate into wrestling. Mm-hmm. For an example, in college, I took a speech class. And that relates back to promos. When I was a teenager, I did theater.
Okay.
And wrestling is literally theater, you know?
It is.
And then I did taekwondo and I did sports. So try to think of all these different aspects that would relate back into wrestling. Even being like into fashion or art and design, that's also wrestling related. If you're into doing lights and you're into equipment, that is production side of pro wrestling. So think of different aspects of your life and how they can help you go forward with your wrestling journey.
If
that makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. That's really good tips. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure. No problem.
Yeah. So what's your finisher?
Oh, so I have two finishers. One is a X Factor, jumping through the middle rope. So normally I'd be on the apron and I'm jumping through the middle rope to give an X Factor.
Okay.
I call that my sweet factor.
Okay.
Puns are fun.
Yes.
And then my other finisher is a shining wizard, but I call it a shining Judea star. So yeah.
A shining Judea star?
Yeah. Or just Judea star for short.
That's cool. I dig it. And your theme is Candy Girl?
Is that right? By New Edition.
Yeah. That is kind of amazing. Like, I saw that and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest wrestling theme of all the wrestling themes. It fits your character perfectly too.
Thank you.
All right, I got one more question for you before we wrap up.
Totally.
If you could wrestle anybody from any point in wrestling history, who would it be and why?
Okay, let me think. I know Lita is up there. Lita is one of those females where I'm just like, Oh, you seem like you would have been so fun to work back in the day. Yeah. And who knows? She probably still got it, you know? She
probably does, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, she was one of those females where I was like, look, she's an actual wrestler, you know? She's doing Rana's to guys and stuff.
Right.
I want to do that. So, yeah, maybe Lita. Lita's definitely up on there.
Okay.
I think she would just be so much fun to work.
Who's going over in that match?
Well, I don't know. If she's wrestling me now, it would be her. But, like, let's say maybe 5-7 years from now, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe I would be over.
Ah, all right. That sounds great.
Thanks.
You said...
WWE?
I'm sorry.
Hear that, WWE?
Yes.
You just little speaking
gotta make
it
happen.
Out into existence.
Gotta make it happen. Oh my gosh. There's so many opportunities now with the WWE Performance Center. You've got AEW Dark Elevation debuting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places to work.
Yeah. It's very exciting right now.
Yeah.
I know some of the people I train with are like, you know, I'm not sure if I want to go to WWE because for such and such reasons. Like, I understand it's like the biggest promotion in the world. And then, of course, in America, it's like a huge deal. But I don't know. Maybe I just want to do like indie stuff. And then AEW and all these other promotions start popping up. And they're like,
yeah,
I really like this style, or I like the way that they book. And
yeah,
it's almost like a different avenue for them to chase, you know. So
it's great.
Really exciting right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of great options. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So you said you're back. Where can we see you wrestle now, especially online?
Okay. So. I keep getting this question, which is totally fair, but it is a pandemic, so I'm kind of taking it month by month on where I can wrestle. I do have a match on March 20th at Missions Pro Wrestling in Buda, Texas.
Okay.
I will be wrestling Raven Marie, which I'm excited for. New challenge for me. I might be wrestling at Missions next month. We will see. I want to start uploading my matches onto my YouTube channel, which is Mia Garcia. You might have to look up Mia Garcia the Wrestler or Leah Mia, because there's so many people with my name.
Right.
The name Mia Garcia, so other channels will pop up. But it's easy to find me on there. I have the little peppermint logo, and then plus I'm a wrestler, and I don't think there's any other Mia Garcias that are wrestlers right now.
I didn't see any.
Yeah, but I want to start uploading my matches on there, especially since there's not a whole lot of shows going on.
Right.
Put out some free content. I will be wrestling more at East Bay Pro Wrestling for their sanitized tapings, except I think we're calling it something different now. But essentially how it works is... we don't have any crowds. We go into the facility. We record the matches. It gets edited, and then it gets uploaded to YouTube on a special link. To receive that special link, you just donate $5 or more to the East Bay Pro Wrestling Academy. And from there, you get about an hour's worth of wrestling. So
wow,
I should
that's
be,
good.
Yeah, it is a great deal. I should be wrestling more on those shows. And if I am, I will be promoting it on my Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff.
Okay, great. And speaking of that, tell us about your social media. Where can we follow you?
Absolutely. So, on Facebook, I'm at Aaliyah Mia Garcia. My first name is spelled A-L-E-Y-A-H, because there's different ways to spell Aaliyah, so that's how you spell it. And then Mia Garcia, simple enough. On Twitter... I am at Mia Garcia 25, and then for Instagram, TikTok, and Snapchat, it's Mia Garcia _25.
All right.
And,
is the 25 significant to anything?
It is, but I won't say what.
Okay. That's perfectly fine.
Somebody will figure it out one day. They'll be like, oh, that's kind of obvious that it's 25, but yeah.
I got it. Well, Aaliyah, thank you very much for hanging out with us this past 45-ish minutes. We really appreciate you spending time with us and getting to know you a little better.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah,
I had fun chatting it up, and I look forward to listening back to this, and hopefully you guys enjoy it too.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Matt Sin. You can follow me at WrestleLifeMatt on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow us all on WrestleLife Radio on Instagram and Facebook, and WrestleLifePod on Twitter. And you can listen to us literally wherever you get your podcasts, including where you're listening to us right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you. Remember to #SupportIndieWrestling, and we hope you all have an absolutely wonderful day.